for this quantity with no stipulations on supersymmetry or representation. But they only evaluated this quantity in certain specific cases. So here, I'd like to demonstrate agreement with their general formula in a more general class of examples using holography. Okay. And the setup that I'll consider today is dual to a class of static bubbling geometries. And these geometries, for the class I'm interested in, we only know a couple explicitly. So in that sense, we'd only be able to get maybe one more representation that's been got before. So we can get much further by using matrix model results. So I'll show you that the Lefkowitz and Malvasina formula can be rewritten in the case I'm interested in using matrix model results. And also, the entanglement entropy that I'll compute holographically using the Ryu-Takayanagi formula can also be rewritten using matrix results. And I'll show that these two results agree perfectly. Okay. So the outline of this talk, first I'll review the Lefkowitz-Malvasina formula. Then I will go over how you can rewrite the right-hand side of their formula using matrix model results. Then I'll introduce you to these geometries. They might be unfamiliar to some. And I'll show how I can rewrite the entanglement entropy computed using these geometries in the matrix model language and show you that the two results agree exactly. So please ask questions as soon as they come to you. And there'll be a lot of background material, and I'll have to borrow from a lot of other people's results to actually get to the calculation I need to do. But then once I've done that work, the calculation will be quite straightforward. Okay. But please stop me if the structure gets lost. Okay. Right, so let's start at the beginning. Entanglement entropy is defined to be the von Neumann entropy of the reduced density matrix associated with a given spatial region. So in this talk, I'll consider a particular type of spatial region. This is a region with a spherical boundary. Okay. So I'll be considering conformal field theories. So if I draw a slice at constant time of my CFT, and this is the spatial region I'm interested in, A, and its boundary, dA, is a d minus 2 sphere of radius r. Okay. Now, in this special case, it's been shown by Cassini, Huerta, and Myers that the entanglement entropy is actually given by the thermodynamic entropy. In particular, the thermodynamic entropy of the same theory at a specific temperature on hyperbolic space. Now, this was demonstrated by studying the effect of conformal transformations on the density matrix and on the spatial region. And I'll be using this observation. So this is the observation that Lefkowitz and Malvasina used to write down their formula in the case of Wilson loops. Okay, so now I want to add a Wilson loop to this setup. So the entropy I'm interested in is the difference in the entanglement entropy in the presence of the loop in comparison to the vacuum. So what I need to add to this setup is a Wilson loop. So in this diagram here, it's a line coming out of the board. But when I include the point at infinity, this is actually conformally equivalent to the following setup. So I added so this is just a Wilson line, but if I add the point at infinity, then it's conformally equivalent to a circle which kind of bites the half plane. Okay, so this is my area, and this is the Wilson loop. So I'll always be considering a Wilson loop. It's just sometimes more convenient to consider this picture and sometimes this picture. Okay. So to compute this thermal entropy, I need What do I need? I need the free energy and its first derivative with respect to the temperature, both in the presence of this loop and without this loop, and take the difference. Okay? And Lefkowitz and Malesina showed that you can rewrite, okay, the answer can be expressed as a sum of the expectation value of the Wilson loop and also the one-point function of the stress tensor in the presence of this loop. And that, the latter, the stress tensor in the presence of the loop, can be rewritten using symmetries in terms of one coefficient, HW, which is known as the scaling weight of the loop. And here's their result. Okay. So this is the result that I would like to rewrite in a matrix model language. Okay. And that's just the first step. But first I'll give you a rough idea of how they derived this. Okay. It basically goes along the lines of what I just said. But so here, first you have the thermodynamic entropy and some definitions that we'll need. And that first term, log of the expectation value of W, you can eyeball that. It's just ZW over Z. ZW, which is the partition function in the presence of W, divided by Z, will just give you the expectation value of W. But the key step is in this derivative term. So the action only depends on beta, which is the period of this the thermal circle, which I wrote down two slides ago. The action only depends on beta through the metric. So if you do a coordinate change, you can bring out that dependence. And you can rewrite this derivative in terms of the stress tensor. And then conformal invariance, tracelessness, and conservation fix T mu nu, its expectation value, up to a constant. And the result is just SW minus S. Okay. Right. So that's the formula we're working with. And now I'm going to specialize to my setup. So in particular, I'm going to work with the half BPS circular Wilson loop in everyone's favorite theory, D equals 4, N equals 4, supersymmetric Young-Mills theory. And I've left the representation arbitrary for now. So this Wilson loop, the form of this Wilson loop is constrained by supersymmetry. In particular, this N here is a unit vector on R6. Okay. So following much earlier work of Erickson, Semenov, and Zarembo, and also Drucker and Gross, Peston has showed that the expectation value of this Wilson loop can be rewritten as the expectation value of a particular operator insertion in a Gaussian matrix model using localization, right? And I'm going to be making, this is the formula that Lefkowitz and Malesina made use of to get some specific examples. But in my case, I'm interested in large representations. So by this, I mean that the Young tableau describing the representation has order n squared boxes. So they considered the fundamental and the anti-symmetric or symmetric representations. Okay. So the program now is to rewrite the right-hand side of that of the Lefkowitz-Malesina formula using this matrix model. Okay. So from discussions with you over the past couple of days, I appreciate that matrix models are your bread and butter for some of you. So the next three slides will just be a lightning review of just the formalism I need. Okay. So a matrix model, quantum gauge theory in zero dimensions, and I'll be dealing with a Hermitian matrix model, so my n by n matrix is Hermitian. And it's often convenient to work in and to fix the gauge and work in a diagonal basis of eigenvalues of m. And I'll be making a further simplification, which is the saddle point approximation. So I'll fix the coupling lambda and take n large. And in this limit, the partition function of the theory will be well approximated by the exponential of the effective action. Okay. it's dominated by that. And furthermore, in this limit, I'll assume that the eigenvalues form a continuous distribution on some interval C. So every time I have some quantity, some function of the eigenvalues weighted by 1 over n, I can rewrite this in terms of an eigenvalue density, rho, an eigenvalue distribution function, rho. Okay. So that's just rewriting. So to give you an example of some formulae of how that works, take the simplest thing you could write down, the partition function of the Gaussian matrix model. So gauge fixing to the eigenvalue basis, to the diagonal basis of eigenvalues, introduces the van der Monde determinant. And then you can rewrite the whole thing as a single exponential, which means that you, as well as this Gaussian quadratic term, you have a log term. And then rewriting things in terms of this eigenvalue distribution rho, you have these two terms. And this log term will crop up again and again. And you vary this action with respect to rho to find the saddle point equations that you'd have to solve to evaluate S0. Okay. So there's one more piece of formalism I need, and this is the matrix model resolvent. So one technique for solving these equations is to rewrite things in terms of this resolvent, which is just what looks like a fairly simple integral over the eigenvalue distribution function. It's analytic on the whole complex plane, except a discontinuity across this interval C. And if we use standard contour deformation arguments, we can evaluate this discontinuity and find an expression for the eigenvalue distribution function in terms of the resolvent. So if you find the resolvent, then you find rho. So in this simple example that I've been talking about so far, the eigenvalue distribution is known. It's very simple. It follows the Wigner semicircle law. Okay. So this rewriting in terms of omega will be very useful, and this will be the eigenvalue distribution in the absence of the Wilson loop. Okay. So now let's rewrite our Wilson loop, the half BPS Wilson loop, in terms of a matrix model using these saddle point methods. Okay. So in particular, we need the difference of the effective actions with and without the Wilson loop, with and without this operator insertion up here. Okay, so it turns out that Okuda and Trancanelli have done most of the work for us. So this is one of the results I'll just borrow. Okay, so first of all, because there's something else in the exponent, that suggests that there's going to be a linear term appearing. There it is. But what they found was a useful way of reparameterizing things was to take your young to blow and divide it up into G blocks, where the ith block has ni rows of length ki. And so the trace gives you interactions between those blocks. But in the saddle point approximation, the eigenvalues reside along a series of intervals. So instead of just one interval, as in the previous simple example, we have a series of intervals. And furthermore, I should emphasize this, we'll take lambda large now. And this means that most of the interactions are suppressed, and the eigenvalues on these intervals, the intervals separate. And we can write down an effective action, which is actually fairly similar to the one we had before. All that's different is we have this term, and we have a series of intervals instead of just one. Okay, but this is enough to make rho very difficult to solve for. Okay. It's very difficult to find rho. But this rewriting is enough for us. This is all we need. We don't need to solve the matrix model. We just need to rewrite it in this form. Okay. So now we're almost ready to, we almost have everything from the right-hand side of their formula. We have the first term and the second term, this scaling weight. It was shown by Gomis, Matsura, Okuda, and Trancanelli. But this can be related to the second moment of the eigenvalue distribution. So what this means is, so rho 2 is given by this integral, and rho 2, 0 is the same integral but where you use rho, the rho I wrote down before, in the absence of the Wilson loop. Okay, and they, here's the formula they give us. Okay. Right. So our my computation is to show you that the holographic entanglement entropy, the result I'll get from using the Ryutaki-Nagi on these bubbling geometries, can be written in exactly this form. Okay, and I'll show you that it agrees exactly. So this is where we are. So the next stage is to tell you about these bubbling geometries. I'll give a quick review, and then I'll show you how you can rewrite these bubbling geometries in this language. And then I'll finally get to the holographic computation, which won't actually take too long. But up to this point, does anyone have any questions on what I've covered so far? No? Okay. Okay, so the holographic description of Wilson loops has a long history, and it depends quite crucially on the representation of the gauge group that you're interested in. So for a fundamental representation, one takes a probe string in ADS5 cross S5, but for larger representations, you need to do something else. So for an anti-symmetric or a symmetric representation, you add a D3 brain or a D5 brain that will fill a certain submanifold of ADS5 cross S5 and have a certain flux on its world volume. But in the limit where the representation becomes large, so the number of boxes grows like n squared, this probe description breaks down and we have to use a fully back-reacted geometry. And these are the bubbling geometries that were written down by these three guys. So I'll now review these. Okay. So as usual, they were guided by symmetry in constructing these solutions. The half BPS Wilson loop operator that I wrote down has the following bosonic symmetry group. So the SO5 instead of SO6 because I chose that unit vector, and the conformal symmetry has also been broken down to this subgroup. So this is telling us that the metric ansatz we should write down in 2B supergravity should be an ADS2 cross S2 cross S4 vibration over a 2D surface. Okay, so the metric that we'll write down has this form, where all of these functions are some non-trivial functions of the two coordinates on the 2D space sigma. And you find those functions by solving the BPS equations, because we're looking for a half BPS solution, after all. This might not look too familiar, but an example, which you all know very well, is ADS5 cross S5. It's just written in a difference, in a possibly a new slicing. It's written in an ADS2 cross S2 slicing. So we just have a cosh here, a shine here, and the two coordinates here, one becomes the ADS radial coordinate, x, and the other becomes another coordinate that builds you up to a 5-sphere. Okay. Right, so those are the geometries. And in fact, this is all we need to do Ryutaki-Nagi. We have the metric. So there are other fields turned on, but the metric is the only thing we need to compute entanglement entropy. But I'll give you just a couple of slides to get maybe some more intuition for these geometries. So a solution, this is a big class of solutions. So one solution Each one is characterized by two real harmonic functions, h1 and h2. And that those the metric functions f1, 2, 4, and sigma have complicated expressions in terms of these h1 and h2. And the regularity of these solutions that we demand imposes boundary conditions on these functions at the boundary of the 2D space sigma. Okay, so if we take sigma to be the lower half plane and its boundary to be the real line, then the boundary conditions are quite simple, quite simple to express. So H2 always has the same form. It's just the imaginary part. It goes like the imaginary part of this coordinate. And it satisfies a Dirichlet condition on the boundary. H1, in comparison, is more complicated, and it satisfies alternating Neumann and Dirichlet boundary conditions on the boundary. A solution is also characterized by the genus of this surface sigma. The solution is characterized by 2g plus 2 real numbers, which are related to the branch points of this surface. I'll give you an example shortly. And a key point to remember is that higher genus solutions, I'll draw you some diagrams, but higher genus solutions, they admit, each time you go up in genus, you admit more and more non-trivial 3 and 5 cycles in the geometry. And these are the bubbles that give the solutions their name. And these support non-zero 3 and 5 form flux. So there are other fields turned on, they support these fluxes, and that's important to remember because that encodes the map to the field theory, which I'll go over soon. Okay. So just a couple of examples. Actually, only two are known. Only two have been written down. So G equals zero, this is just the ADS5 cross S5 solution. And I'll draw you a picture of this 2D space sigma. So here's its boundary, the real line. And we have those real numbers, the branch points. Sorry, that's too many. And we choose Neumann boundary conditions in the central interval and Dirichlet here and here. So in particular, what that means is some of the metric functions go to zero at these points. So F4 goes to zero here and here, which was the metric function in front of the 4-sphere, and F2 goes to zero here in front of the 2-sphere. So this structure means that we have a 5-sphere here. And this is this structure tells you that you have a 5-sphere in the geometry. And this is the 5-sphere here. So another example, the next more complicated example, is g equals 1. So here the metric functions are known, but they're written in terms of some complicated elliptic integrals. But all that's different on sigma is that you have extra intervals. Okay, so this just tells you the boundary condition for H1. So again, we have this S5, but we also have two more S5 cycles appearing. And now we have enough structure for an S3 cycle. Okay. And this actually exhausts the examples that I have to tell you about, because the other examples, I can draw the same pictures for higher G, but I can't write down the metric functions. Okay. But it turns out that I don't need to. And we can just use the general structure of the solutions to get the answer we want. OK. So one more thing I need to tell you about these geometries is the map to the matrix model and to the field theory. So I've told you that, I claim that these bubbling geometries provide the dual for a half BPS Wilson loop. So how do you map the data of the Wilson loop to the geometry? It turns out that the integrals of these fluxes through these non-trivial cycles for a given genus are given by precisely the ni and the ki that parameterize the Young-Tableau, that give the dimensions of the Young-Tableau. Furthermore, there's a direct map to the matrix model. So the resolvent of the very matrix model that I wrote down can be related to these points that characterize the bubbling geometries. So I haven't given you the formulae for all those things because they're not really required. The only thing that's required is that if you take the ansatz and the constraints that omega must satisfy, then they match the constraints of regularity and also these flux integrals precisely if you make this identification of these harmonic functions. So H2, very simple. H1 includes the resolvent here. So this is omega, it's not a W, it's an omega. And we also identify the spectral parameter, Z, the argument of omega, with the coordinate on this two-dimensional surface. So with this, we can rewrite the answer we get from Ryu Takinagi in terms of the matrix model, in terms of omega. And that'll enable us to get a formula that we can compare directly with Lefkowitz and Maldacena. Okay. Anybody have any questions about the program? This was most of the background. Now I can go and calculate. Go ahead. How do these So these are good question. So these are I think that they're cycles of non-trivial homology cycles. Yeah, I think the answer is yes, but I don't know how the details are spread out. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting structure in these geometries, but I don't actually need most of it, or I don't need to make explicit reference to most of it. But thanks for the question. Any more questions? Okay. So now I can go and compute. So because these geometries are static, I can use the Ryu Takinagi prescription to compute the entanglement entropy using holography. So the formula they give us is that the entanglement entropy is proportional to the area of a codimension 2 minimal surface that's anchored on the boundary, on the ADS boundary, on the region we're interested in, this dA, where this is the 10d Newton's constant. So this has recently been put on a firmer footing by another Lefkowitz and Maldacena paper using a gravitational version of the replica trick. But that's a side point. Recall that our geometries are written in terms of a fibration of ADS2 cross S2 cross S4 over a 2D surface. And I'm going to choose quite a simple embedding of this of my surface. So I'm going to consider a surface at constant T. And V, the other ADS2 coordinate, will be a function of the two coordinates on sigma. Okay, so from the outset, I've imposed that there's no dependence on the S2 or S4 coordinates, which possibly makes sense because it's just a symmetric ansatz, if you will. And this is the area functional that I have to minimize. And this gives me the The equation of motion for V is a PDE. But happily, the solution is very, very simple. It's just a constant for V. And this actually gives you the global minimum of this functional, which you can see because this term is never less than zero. So this area functional is minimized for V equals constant. So this might look like a pretty amazing coincidence and that we're very lucky to have it. But also it's deceptively simple. It might look kind of strange. So to give you some intuition, I'll take you back to ADS5 cross S5. Okay. So this is the case in the absence of the Wilson loop. So the vacuum is described by the ADS5 cross S5 metric, which I've written in Poincaré coordinates like this. And looking for minimal surfaces in ADS, this has been done. So again, a surface at constant T that's anchored on the boundary on a two-sphere. We know the formula for the minimal surface. It's this. And if we just rewrite this in a different coordinate chart, namely the coordinate chart with ADS2 cross S2 slicing, then indeed we find that the surface is just given by a constant ADS2 coordinate. Okay, this is just using the map between the coordinates of these two charts. But that's the case without the Wilson loop. In the case of a general bubbling geometry, which describes a general Wilson loop, even though the coordinate map is much more complicated, or besides g equals 1, the coordinate map isn't known, in general, you can still argue by working very close to the boundary that v equals r is indeed describes a sphere in the Poincaré chart, okay, which you have at the boundary. You have the Pfeffmann-Graham expansion at the boundary. Okay. So we know what value to choose for this constant, if you will. Not that it comes up. Okay, so now we can go ahead and evaluate that area functional. So we start by rewriting everything in terms of H1 and H2, using those complicated formulae that we had, that I didn't show you. And at that point, we could just evaluate things numerically. That's what we first thought of doing when we just had the g equals 1 solution in front of us, and we thought, let's just integrate. But this doesn't get you very far for the reasons I told you before. We want to do more. So we can just rewrite things using this map from Akodu and Trancanelli in terms of omega, the resolvent. Okay, and the area becomes this pretty complicated looking expression here. But it turns out we can do this integral. The strategy is to exchange the order of integrals. So you pull out all the x integrals and you do the z integral first. But of course you have divergences. These divergences you expect to find because of the infinite volume at the boundary of ADS. And in particular, on the first line, which is linear in rho, the first line contains quadratic divergences in large mod z. And the bottom line, quadratic in rho, contains logarithmic divergences. So we have to regulate. And we can do that regulation by just going to the boundary and looking at and rewriting the regulator we choose in terms of the Pfeffmann-Graham cutoff, epsilon. And here's the answer. So there's kind of a shame that that was most of the calculation we actually did. We borrowed so many results that by the time we got to it, that was the only calculation we had to do, which was just some simple regulation of an integral. But here's the answer you get, and it has the form you'd expect. It has a quadratic and a logarithmic divergence, which is fitting for an entanglement entropy in 4D. And you also see these matrix model terms appearing. But a nice check is that the coefficient of this logarithmic divergence has the coefficient that's expected. It's given to us by the trace anomaly. And we subtract off the vacuum result, which is just the ADS5 cross S5 result, G equals zero. And the divergent terms cancel perfectly, and you're just left with this finite piece. So this is the result from the Ryu-Takinagi formula. So this is the result we have to compare with Lefkowitz and Malvasia. Okay. So at no point did we have to solve the matrix model and evaluate rho. Okay. Okay. So here's the comparison we have to do. So this is the right-hand side of Lefkowitz-Maldacena, specialized to D equals 4. So the top two lines are just minus S Wilson, the effective action in the presence of the Wilson loop. This piece here is the effective action without the Wilson loop. You can just evaluate it because you know rho. Here is HW, and it turns out that if you just, you can rewrite this form quite quickly, you indeed get delta S that we derived, okay, that I showed you on the previous slide. This is delta S. But you also get these two other terms. So we were confused about that for a while, but of course, you just impose the saddle point equations, and these two terms sum to zero. It's just, that's a 3 or 4 line calculation to show. So indeed, we have found complete agreement with Lefkowitz-Maldacena. Okay. Cool. So I've done much, much better for time than I anticipated. So you have to ask lots of questions. So to summarize, we found agreement with the Lefkowitz-Maldacena formula in for large representations. You can see this, maybe that, I'm not sure if that seems like a big result in itself. One thing it does show you is confirmation of the map that Okuda and Tranchinelli found between the geometries and the matrix model. It's like so many things had to work to get this agreement to come out. So it's a nice consistency check of the whole picture, especially of Ryu-Takinagi in these more kind of more general situations where instead of just working in ADS4, ADS5, you're working in a full 10D context. Okay. So the next natural step is to explore other bubbling geometries. So in Lefkowitz and Maldacena's paper, they actually worked out a formula, not just for the N equals 4 theory in 4D. They worked out a formula for the Wilson surface they considered some examples in ABJM. Now, it turns out that the bubbling solutions, well, the analog of the bubbling solutions that would be relevant in that case, they haven't been worked out yet. So there's some motivation, more motivation to do that task. But another task you could do is just take a bubbling geometry you already have, but one that might give you a more interesting result. So instead of a consistency check, you'd like to have a predictive tool. So there you can look at a bubbling solution in 11-dimensional supergravity found by these guys that should describe a Wilson surface in the mysterious 6D2,0 theory. So this is work in progress, and in that case, the gravity solutions, instead of just having two examples, it's very easy to write down any example in the class. Okay, so that gives us the hope that we could do more on the gravity side and get an explicit answer. Then that would be the prediction for an entanglement entropy in this theory, which I think would be pretty exciting because we don't know an awful lot about this theory yet. But then beyond that, any bubbling solution you want to play with, you can just go ahead and do. It's surprising that they haven't been done so much yet. But okay, that was all I had to say. So if anyone has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Yeah, sure.
Is there an analog of Maldacena
there for the formula? Sure. So the field theory formula that I wrote down was very general. Didn't care about the supersymmetry or the representation. But to actually evaluate it, you're talking about. Yes. Yeah. Sure.
Which is the weight. So I'm thinking in terms of non-conformal theories.
Right, okay, yes. Yes, so from the start, they're always dealing with conformal theories.
You can't do it in non-conformal.
Well, the formula is for conformal theories. You need to another formula. Yeah. 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 But that would definitely be interesting. But also, so this 2,0 theory is conformal, but one thing that might be interesting to explore, so you could start on the gravity side, and in principle, well, we suspect we can just do all the calculation we need. We can do all the calculation. So get everything on the right-hand side, and then kind of see if this reverse engineer a formula of that kind. But also, in that case, you have a matrix model in the 5D Young-Mills theory that's a dimensionally reduced version of this. It's conjectured. So you can check all sorts of things with this angle. Excellent question. So that's a calculation we'd love to do. So yeah. So when you say what happens, so we'd like to just do that calculation and just compute entanglement entropy in LLM geometries. I think one example, a D1, D5 setup has been considered, but they don't think they wrote down the most general answer. That's like a baby step to LLM. But yeah, so in that case, I don't have a field theory expectation of what you'd find. It would be nice to work one out and see if you can get. Sorry? Yeah. But also another thing about the LLM geometries is that not all of them are asymptotically ADS, as far as I know. So if you could potentially do something quite powerful. If you might have some generalization of the quantity you're trying to compute. So if it's a huge class of solutions. So if you could, even bigger than these. So if you could do a general calculation there, that would be pretty special.
Okay,